Father, we just thank you and praise you, God, for this day. Father, I thank you, Lord, for every single thing that you've already done up to this time, Father. Lord, I submit myself in this word to you and to your and to who you are, Father. Lord, I pray, God, that what you've given me this morning, Father, that it lands on ears and eyes to hear what you have to say this morning, Father. I just thank you, God, that you open our eyes to see what it is that you have us to see this morning, Father. And I thank you, I praise you, I worship you for it in Jesus' name, and everyone said amen.
Amen.
Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. Whether you think you can or think you can't, you're right. It's your perception. The next one. Sometimes you win, sometimes you. What do we normally say? I love this when I came across this one. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you lose. Sometimes you win. Sometimes you learn. It's all in your perception. Amen? I like the learn. I like learning much better than losing. The next one. We don't see things the way they are. We see them the way we are. That is truth. That is truth. We don't see things the way they are. We see them the way we are. What we perceive about ourselves is greatly a reflection of how we will end up living our lives. How many of y'all know people who are very confident people and it comes out of their mouth all the time that I can do this? How many of y'all know people like that? How many of y'all are people like that? How many of y'all know people that go, I can't do that. There's no way I could do that. That's just too big. That's too big of a deal for me. I could never do that. So-and-so could do that, but I could never do that. I love this. What we perceive about ourselves is greatly reflection of how we will end up living our lives. People who think they can't, won't. People who think they can, will. It's perception. So today, I'm going to challenge you on your perception. Amen? Are you excited? I am so excited. I've got another slide I'm going to have her put up here. David and Goliath. We all know the story of David and Goliath, right? David is the little shepherd boy, and he is sent on an assignment to go take some bread and cheese to his brothers while they're in battle. He walks into the battle. He sees all the stuff that's going on. Goliath is throwing out trash, talking about God and everything, and David is like, what the heck is going on with this? How can they sit there and stand there? No one's attacking this stupid idiot. You know, I'm paraphrasing in American today's language, so y'all can get it. And so, you know, as I was thinking about this message today, is David was a boy that was put out to the field with sheep. That's what he spent his life doing, was taking care of sheep. David had already killed a lion. He'd already killed a bear, right? So he walks into this situation, and I cannot wait for the replay in heaven. I really, truly believe that God is going to have a super huge mega screen up there and replay things like this so that we can see what truly happened. Amen? I can't wait. Like the lion's den, I cannot wait to see how that happens. I cannot wait to see Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace to see how that looked and what that felt like. I can't wait to see those kind of things. I can't wait to see this replay. I cannot wait. Because David walks down, he's just doing what he's told to do by his father. He shows up, this Philistine is talking trash about his God. He comes back going, what's going on? I can take this thing. I can take this thing. There was probably some pretty big boys that are on the battlefield that should have taken this thing, but they didn't because all they could see was this dude was huge. There is no way. How is anybody going to kill him? So I can see David marching down here. You know, he tries to put on Saul's armor and stuff. He's trying to do it that way, and he's like, I can't do this. I can't fight with this. No, I got to have my own stuff. So he gets the five stones, the sling. Y'all know the story. He goes down to battle, and Goliath starts talking trash. Oh, you? They send you? You're going to throw a stick at me? Really? And so he starts, you know, they come back and forth and stuff. David just, boom, bam, That's how it happens. Replay. Boom, boom, boom. Actually, it was boom, boom, boom. That's actually how it happened. And so, but this is the thing is, David's perception of who he was. He already had taken out a lion. He already had taken out a bear. What is this? This is nothing for me. because David knew in his mind who he was. He wasn't about to let anybody else put him in a box that he was too young, he was too little to take out this giant. He's like, you watch me. And what we all know the story, he took him out. But it's like, that was his prize. And so he takes it back in, and so he has a prize. Like, look, I bet you nobody doubted David again. I bet you not. And so how you perceive someone is how you receive someone. They received David as a little shepherd boy that could do nothing because that's how they perceived him. But boy, howdy, didn't David show them. Bible says in Proverbs 23:7, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. What do you think about yourself? Your heart is the truth. Your heart is what tells you the truth. Some of you in here may think that you are a winner and that you can do anything that's put before you, no matter how difficult. There are others of you that are in here that are thinking, I can't do anything. I'm a stupid, dumb kid. I'm always going to be a stupid, dumb kid. There's no way that I can meet this match. There's no way. Who am I? Really, God? You want me to open my mouth and you want me to preach? Really, God, you want me to step out and you want me to pray for somebody? Really, God, you want me to go to school and you want me to be a witness about Jesus? Really, God, me? So we're going to talk about perception today. I want you to turn to Numbers 13. Very, very, very popular story. I love Bible stories. How many love Bible stories? Yeah. We're going to start at verse 27. This is the story of Moses being given the assignment to send spies in to spy out the land. Y'all know that story, right? So Moses loads up 12 dudes and says, I want you to go into this land and I want you to check everything out about it. Check everything out. Everything. And then you're going to come back and you're going to give me a report about this land. So this is where we're going to start at verse 27. The spies are coming back and this is their report. Then they had told him, they said, we went to the land where you sent us. It truly flows with milk and honey, and it does have fruit. Nevertheless, the people who dwell in the land are strong. The cities are fortified and very large. Moreover, we saw the descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites dwell in the land of the south, and the Hittites and the Jebusites and the Amorites dwell in the mountains, and the Canaanites dwell by the sea and along the banks of the Jordan. Then Caleb quieted the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and take possession, for we are well able to overcome it. That is a faith statement. But, say but. The men who had gone up with him said, we are not able to stand up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. That's a pretty doubtful statement, amen? And they gave the children of Israel a bad report of the land which they had spied out, saying, the land through which we have gone as spies is a land that devours its inhabitants, and all the people whom we saw in it are men of great stature. There we saw giants and descendants of Anak, and they came from giants, and they were like, and we were like grasshoppers in our own sight, and so we were in their sight. So you got 10 boys who come back. They all have the same report about the land being beautiful. It's full of milk and honey. It's got great fruit. It's awesome. You got two guys that say, we can take this land. Caleb says, man, we can take it. We can take this. But then you have the other ones that say, ain't no way. No. Did you not see the size of those giants? Did you not see the size of them? Them jokers are huge. And so they keep on talking, and they're saying, but we are like grasshoppers in their sight. We are like grasshoppers in our own sight. We are grasshoppers compared to them. We are grasshoppers compared to them. How are we going to go in there and take this land? There's no way. But this is the interesting thing. And so we were in their sight. I don't think that they ever said, you guys look like grasshoppers. Look at us, we're big bad, but you guys are grasshoppers. This is something they perceived. They perceived what they looked like, and they perceived what their enemy thought they looked like. And so they already were defeated in their minds. Their minds. Their mind is automatically what took them out. Amen? And then go over to Numbers 14, 1 through 10. Let's go ahead and keep reading. So all the, I love this. As I was reading this yesterday, I was laughing. I was just having a good time with this. So all the congregation lifted up their voices and cried, and the people wept that night. And all the children of Israel complained against Moses and Aaron and the whole congregation, and to them, and said to them, "If only we had died in the land of Egypt, or if only we had died in the wilderness." Is this not? This is a tape playing over again. Again, it's like, really, again, we're going to go through this again. So why has the Lord brought us to this land to fall by the sword, that our wives and children should become victims? Why would it not be better for us to return to Egypt? So they said to one another, "Let us select a leader and return to Egypt." Then Moses and Aaron fell on their faces before the assembly of the congregation of the children of Israel. But Joshua, the son of Nun, and Caleb, the son of that guy, who were among those who had spied out the land, tore their clothes. They spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, saying, "The land we passed through to spy out is an exceedingly good land. If the Lord delights in us, then he will bring us into this land and give it to us, a land which flows with milk and honey. Only do not rebel against the Lord, nor fear the people of the land, for they are our bread. Their protection has departed from them, and the Lord is with us. Do not fear them." Then I want you to get a hold of this. And all the congregation said, "Stone them with stones." Back over in 13, verse 2, the Lord said to send men out to spy the land of Canaan, which I am giving to the children of Israel. He didn't say, "I think I might give this land if they come back with a good report." He said, "I am giving this land to the children of Israel." It was as good as done. Caleb and Joshua had the right idea. They saw the right perspective. They had it right in their eyes. The other ones, though, they didn't. They couldn't see what Joshua and Caleb saw. And the rest of the story gets really kind of sad, because the Lord then begins to speak that those 10 will not enter. Only Joshua and Caleb and their descendants will be the only ones who take possession of the promised land. The rest of them ended up dying with pestilence. That's pretty sad. So our perception means a whole lot, guys. It's not just something that we need to play with. It is something we really need to dial in. Amen? And so as I was reading that scripture, when you perceive something different than they do, they're going to want to stone you. When you perceive the truth, when you perceive how something truly is, people around you, good believing Christians, as even, not just the world, but even your brothers and sisters in Christ, when you see something different than they see it, are y'all hearing me? Might want to kill you. I know that's a little bit heavy, but that's the truth. That is the truth. When you see something a little bit different, or you perceive something differently than somebody else does, argument breaks out, offense breaks out. We can go on and on and on and how the whole thing plays out. Amen? Amen? And so that's why we've got to get our perception right. We've got to. And so the second generation perceived themselves as warriors. Joshua and Caleb were the second generation. They saw themselves as warriors because they were warriors. They saw the dream. They weren't about to be denied. They pursued the dream, they ran off the enemies, and made the promise theirs. That's the truth. They saw that land. They saw, that's our promise. God said that is our land, and we are going to take it. We're not going to be denied. Nothing is going to stop us from taking this land. But the first generation, they only saw the obstacles. They saw everything else Joshua and Caleb saw, but their mind couldn't get off of the giants. They couldn't get their mind off the obstacle. They died in their small-mindedness, in their perception. Think about that for a minute. They let their perception kill them. Their enemy had spent 40 years of fear, afraid that they would come after them. The one enemy that they said, they perceive us as grasshoppers too. That same enemy for 40 years were afraid that they were going to come after them. So who's your enemy today? The enemy saw them as a mighty nation of warriors, but because of their perception of themselves, they died in the wilderness. That ain't going to happen to Glory or Passion Church. I was going to say Glorious Praise Tabernacle. Where'd that come from? That was our other church. That was our very first. That was when we first started ministry. That's not going to happen here. That's not going to happen at Passion Church. We are not going to let our perception stop us from taking our promised land. Amen? Everywhere that you walk, the word said. Everywhere that you walk. When God was getting ready to give the promised land to Caleb and Joshua, he told them, every place your feet walk, that ground is yours to take. Possess it. Possess it. It is yours. Don't let anything, any obstacle stop you from possessing your promised land. Amen? So now I've got another really cool slide. You can't explain to a turtle a giraffe decision. We're going to talk about this. Mr. Dan's looking at me going, what are you doing, girl? Now, how is she going to pull this out? Watch. Again, it all basically comes back down to perception. That's what we're talking about today. It's perception. So when we're on the turtle level, we don't see anything but obstacles. Nothing seems to go right, and it's definitely not going fast enough. But only because we see on that level, then we begin to speak on that level. We think on that level. We consume on that level and produce on that level. Look at the turtle. Look at his vision. He ain't seeing much of nothing, right? But now we're going to go into the giraffe's perspective. Once you're up there, things quickly change because now you can see on a whole new level, literally. The petty stuff doesn't matter anymore, and you are no longer satisfied with the turtle level stuff. New perspective, new dreams and visions, new thoughts, new actions, and new destiny. But, say but. There always is one. The moment you start stretching out your neck, there's always going to be a turtle down there criticizing what you're trying to do. Don't let them stop you. As you know, the turtle is talking on the level it sees, but they have no clue because their perspective is very different. Continue sticking your neck out. Hold your head high because that's what you were designed to do. Did that just help anybody? Sometimes I think we have to have pictures. Sometimes somebody has to draw a picture for us. It's our perception. Amen? I don't want to be a turtle. I don't want to see only what a turtle sees. I want to be the giraffe that has that neck stuck out, looking all around, seeing what's going on. Amen? How many giraffes do I have in this house? How many turtle mindsets are we killing today? Yes, amen. So my question is, how do you see yourself? You knew it was going to come down to challenge. You knew it was. So how do you see yourself? Don't listen to the world. Listen to God. I just wrote down just a few things of what God says. You are the head, not the tail. You are more than a conqueror. You can do all things through Christ. You are a new creature in Christ. You are healed. You are redeemed from the curse of sin, sickness, and poverty. You are greatly loved by God. Those are just a handful of things that God says about us. So why are we listening to what the world says? You crazy fanatics. We need to shut your voices. You don't have a right to speak. You need to shut up and stay silent. And all the while, God's saying, hey, you're the head, not the tail. Why are you listening to them? Why are you letting them talk trash to you? Get a David mentality. Get a giraffe mentality, amen? So the end of this story is in Joshua 14, 6 through 15. Joshua. Then the children of Judah came to Joshua in Gilgal, and Caleb, the son of that guy again, the Kinzerite, and said to him, you know the word which the Lord said to Moses, the man of God, concerning you and me in Kadesh Barnea. I was 40 years old when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land, and I brought back word to him as it was in my heart. Remember, your heart don't lie. Nevertheless, my brethren who went up with me made the heart of the people melt, but I wholly followed the Lord my God. So Moses swore on that day, saying, surely the land where your foot has trodden shall be your inheritance and your children's forever, because you have wholly followed the Lord your God. And now behold, the Lord has kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years ever since the Lord spoke this word to Moses while Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now here I am this day, 85 years old. And yet I am as strong this day as on that day Moses sent me. Just as my strength was then, so it is now for war, both going out and coming in. Now, therefore, give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day. It may be that the Lord will be with me, and I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave Hebron to Caleb, the son of that guy, as an inheritance. Hebron, therefore, became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of that guy, the Kenizzite, to this day, because he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel and the name of the Hebron, formerly and there this land had rest from war. 85 years old. 85 years old. I am talking to some second generation children today. Are y'all listening to me? We are all going to get a brand new eyesight. We're all going to get a brand new perspective. Amen? Amen. So at the end of this story, the boys got their land. They got what God promised them. So I'm going to leave you with one final thought. What you perceive is what you receive. What you perceive is what you receive. We are children who are called to walk by faith. We are to call those things that are not as though they are. We are called to call things that are not as though they are. Think about the story of Abraham and Sarah. Her womb was dead. It was dead. Say, it was dead. But God brought life out of it anyway. God said, speak to that. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. They had all kinds of doubt and unbelief, but God's word came through. So I don't know what kind of word you're waiting on today. I don't know what God spoke to you years ago. I don't care if you're 85 years old today and God spoke something to you 40 years ago and you're waiting on that promise. Today is your day. Today is your day. I don't care if you are 8 years old today and God spoke something to you. Hang on to that thing. Fight your way through. Don't listen to what the world says. Don't listen to what your enemies throw at you. Don't listen to all that kind of stuff. You're going to be a giraffe. You're going to have a giraffe mentality. You're going to rise above your circumstances, and you're going to call those things that are not as though they are, and you are going to get your promise. Amen? Amen. It is yours. It is yours. It is yours. Stop doubting. Stop doubting. Don't listen to what the world says. Stop doubting. Grab a hold of your promise. Amen? Amen? Amen. Well, Father, I come to you, Lord, and I thank you for this word, God. Father, I pray right now, God, that you help us get new perception in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray over every single person in this house this morning, God, that you would begin to open their eyes, God, to the things they really are, of how they really are, God. Father, I just thank you and I praise you and I worship you, God, for this word today, Father. Lord, don't let it fall on any deaf ears. Don't let it fall on any dead eyes. Father, I thank you, God, that you are renewing perception in this house this morning. I'm going to have y'all stand because I'm going to open up this altar. We're going to have a time of prayer. And if there are any of you in this house this morning and you're going, man, you hit the nail on the head where I'm at today. You have absolutely no idea, Pastor Colleen, what you spoke, the words that you spoke today, how it just pierced my heart. This word is for you. It is for you.